Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, as the man said. 2015, first show of 2015. A show, I think, that will do this year justice. We're going to go on a journey today. A journey from the 1860s to present. A journey at the conclusion of which I hope you'll see it my way. It's my advice to you. And what I'm talking about is the age of genetic testing. The age of DNA. The promise that we might someday live forever. The promise that we can turn old people young. The motivations behind it, the realities behind it, the myths behind it. I'm going to center the show around a concept that's been long toasted in genetics, that the vast majority of our DNA is junk. Today's show, in fact, is called Junk DNA, question mark. God does not make junk. And I think it's a perfect example. I think it demonstrates clearly a very stiff divide occurring rapidly in culture today between those who can still respect what all people from all places have called God and this large shadow of science. And I say the shadow of science not to mitigate its power. I say the shadow of science because clearly something is not balanced today. So I want to start with the history of DNA. I want to show you the ups and downs. I want to show you what I think is the intelligence, and I want to implore you to see what the myths are because they affect you today. 1860 or so, picture number three. If you're new to the show, get to my website. As Rob kindly pointed out, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. If you're driving, when you can, get to the website. Picture number three, Gregor Mendel, European. Mendel was a monk. He was the first person to start to play around with genetics, and he did this by growing pea plants. And based on his findings, we began, in a more formal sense, we always knew this, of course. Fathers looked like sons, sons looked like fathers, so on and so forth. But Mendel was the first guy to start to codify it, to measure it. And this in a very, very, actually the ache and pain of studying genetics in college is when you start out, you're multiplying fruit flies in labs and trying to demonstrate to yourself Mendelian principles. But Mendel started it. Jump to less than 100 years later. Picture number five, Watson and Crick. Now, Watson was only in his 20s. These guys were at Oxford or Cambridge. I don't remember which. 1950s. Discovered that DNA, that its molecular structure was that of the double helix. That was a big one. Perhaps more far-reaching in its implications than any discovery in the history of mankind. You've got the theory of relativity, and you've got the whole DNA double helix thing. As far as when you get up in the morning, put on your clothes, go out into Los Angeles's traffic jams, and ask yourself which one has affected you most intimately, might well be the DNA. Certainly your hospitals your Kaiser Permanentes will be over this decade delivering to you the ramifications of what Mendel started in the 1860s up to the Great Leap in the 1950s with Watson and Crick. And most fundamentally, what they put together is that DNA as a double helical structure. That's a big deal if ultimately you want to manipulate genes. You've got to understand what you're doing, which means, functionally speaking, if you don't understand the structure. So those of you who are not lab-bound and savvy in these ways, well, who cares that we understand that DNA is double helix? Well, the point is, when Angelina Jolie had the double mastectomy last year, and it is last year now, right? When she had the double mastectomy, it was based on genetic testing. It showed that she had the BRCA genes and that she was more highly predisposed. Of course, they left out half the reality of that, but that's not the point of this show. And that based on the testing, she was counseled to do the wise thing. And down there on the bottom, I just had to put that picture in, picture number 20. Take a look, the Angelina effect. Picture number 21. Angelina's brave choice. Shake hands with Watson and Crick, because if you can't understand that DNA is double helical, you really, really can't break things down to the point where you can affect the day-to-day of human life. And certainly Watson and Crick's discovery accelerated what Mendel did in the 1860s. Then Kerry Mulis came along. Take a look. Picture number 12. Take a look at picture number 12. That's Kerry Mulis. Wrote a wonderful book. Great speaker. Love this guy. And Kerry Mulis is responsible for discovering what we call PCR testing. It says the following. That, well, look at picture 11 first so you can understand what PCR testing is, because when an infectious disease, we don't know what's wrong with you. If we test for some virus like Epstein-Barr, if we test for Lyme disease, if we're lost in the vast flurry of potential microbes taking you to the bedside and keeping you there, after we realize the futility of our antibody tests, our IgMs and our IgGs, the futility of our blood tests, of our stool samples, so on and so forth, we look for the genetic excrement of the microbe. Because every living, perhaps semi-living creature in the world, from humans to viruses, have nucleotide pairs. In other words, all things that we're interested in finding descriptions of have sequences of, and if you're looking at this picture, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. These are the nucleotides. Some of you know this product being by Premier Research Labs called Nucleotide. Because the point of putting that into your body when you're about to get the flu is that when the virus comes in, it infects your DNA, explodes the cell, and produces gazillions of its own baby viruses, all at the expense of your cells. And when your cells try to repair to get you over the flu, you need to make nucleotides, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. This rate limits your cure. You can't rebuild your cell to counteract the symptom of the virus unless, of course, you flood yourself with nucleotides. Thus, nucleotide was patented in Switzerland as an antidote to the flu. Well, that's what nucleotides are. Now, when we take DNA, its double helical structure, we break it down into its sequences of nucleotides. So look at picture number 10. You're going to see the sequencing of nucleotides. GAT, AAA, TCT, GGT, CTT, ATTT, CC. That's a sequence of nucleotides. Kerry Mulis figured out a way to do this I mean, the mathematics, the computer skills, so on and so forth, required to make this worth are in and of itself highly advanced nature. They figured out how to do this, and we call this PCR testing. This was sent then to the FBI, and the FBI, so on and so forth, figured out then, yes, if they couldn't get fingerprints, but you dropped a cell of your skin, your hair, we could go in and we could study the nucleotide sequences of your hair, which of course was the beginning of forensic testings. We can find skeletons that are 100,000 years old. We can take their bones. We can dig them up, take their bones, and do PCR testing and figure out what diseases they had. So Mulis, Watson and Crick, and Mendel. And Kerry Mulis, I put a quote by him. I just had to fit it in. This is a Renaissance man. He's down in San Diego, or he used to be. There's an AIDS show on HIV I want to get to sooner or later using Michael Duisberg. Up to his time, the world's most eminent virologist out of Berkeley. And Mulis and him teamed up. Mulis forwarded his book called Rethinking HIV. And this is Mulis basically stating or backing up the notion that HIV does not cause AIDS. It may be necessary to produce AIDS, but it's not the cause of it, and that the drugs they've produced, like AZT, are absurd. He's a true genius, Mulis. At any rate, he got the Nobel Prize in chemistry for PCR testing. So we went from Mendel on to Watson and Crick, on to Kerry Mulis, and then the infamous Craig Venter. Now go to picture number 15. Take a look at picture 15. Cracking the code. This was a decade or so ago, where what we did was sequence the human genome. And Ventor then went on to become wonderfully rich, took his companies, bought $60 million, $100 million, I don't know, dollar yacht, spent his time touring the world, sequencing genetically anything he could get his hands on. And wow, such interesting things were discovered. All under the domes of his various companies. Well, his competitors, the scientists who don't know how to make a living, didn't like it. If you go to picture number 17, there's Venter playing God. I mean, he's been attacked for a variety of reasons. I know of him second and third hand. It doesn't appear to be the nicest guy or most trustworthy at times. So perhaps his reputation is somewhat well-deserved, but nonetheless, he advanced our knowledge. And we're sequencing lots of things now. And understanding that when you look at some of the sequences, they're not even human. We don't know where they came from. We're finding parts of our bodies, like the mitochondria. And understanding that the mitochondrion, the powerhouse for adenosine triphosphate in our cells, is not us. Certainly our probiotes in our guts are synergistic bacteria, so we readily admit they're not us. But what we're finding is that us is who we call us, is an amalgam of things that are not really us. And of course, in the case of the probiotes, we understood this long before we had the genes down. But to actually see these things coded out and then to verify it is to know that we are not alone. Our world is getting smaller and much, 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 much larger simultaneously. And this is so much about our DNA and our understanding of it. So you can well understand Newsweek claiming that Venter is playing God. And there's lots of reasons for that. Now, this has taken us to And this was out in Fortune magazine a number of months ago. A woman named, well, picture number two, Ann Wojcicki, if that's how you say the name. The most daring CEO in America, because she's putting forth, has put forth, may spend the rest of her life putting forth, the $99 DNA test. Now, we've marketed this all the way to Angelina Jolie, so on and so forth. And as is typical of the evolution of these sorts of things, we find a star, get them to comply with the science, and then all the guilt, shame, trepidation of the social evolution of it, in other words, how this translates into the day-to-day of life, we put on the back of a movie star. It's a very American thing. We've done it with cigarettes. We never did it with drugs. But we did it with cigarettes. We do it with booze. We do it with lots of things. And once the stars do it, once Hollywood says it's okay, and farm girls in Kansas think it's okay. This is the concept. Today's show is in part, I mean, I've got some crackerjack places to take this show, but in part today's show is about the evolution of this. You've got to get the big picture. So, Fast Company, I think Fortune magazine also, or Money magazine, or one of those glossy magazines, the most daring CEO in America, the $99 DNA test. There's the ramification. From Mendel to Watson and Crick, who were not alone. Watson and Crick were not alone. They put it together. They were not alone. In fact, if you go to picture number six, Francis Crick, James Watson, there's the other one, Maurice Wilkins. Look at the forehead on that. Look at the forehead on Maurice Wilkins. How much brains could you stuff into that head? I mean, look at that guy. And Rosalind Franklin. Watson used to go into Franklin's lab and pester her. She was arguably the brightest of the four of them. This is called the DNA 4. Watson, Crick, Wilkins, and Franklin. Linus Pauling was satelliting around those four. Five of the greatest minds of the century. And Watson and Crick would go to the bars at the end of the day. Rosalind wasn't social, and I don't think this was Wilkins' thing either, but Watson and Crick were boozers. They appreciated the scotch. They were networkers. England is long celebrated for its bar populations. It's art form and its own science and art. And well-founded, they would go and take their notes and their learnings, and they would get high on booze and discuss it. They'd take what Franklin had, what Wilkins had. So they were the first to get there. So we go from Mendel, who was a monk, to Watson and Crick, again to Kerry Mulis, again to Craig Venter, again to Ann Wojcicki, to the $99 test, to Angelina Jolie. And that's been our history. And it is affecting us. Within the decade, you will walk in and part of your physical will be genetic testing. Now, our incidences of chronic disease, cancer, so on and so forth, they're going up. We're winning battles. We are definitely winning battles. Our diagnostic therapies for cancer and other diseases generally are better. Our surgical techniques are better. Our follow-up care is better. So on and so forth is better. There's no doubt science is playing its big, beautiful hand with ever-increasing power. We are, without doubt, entering into a new age. It is beyond antibiotics. It is beyond the classic conventional forms of surgeries. It's beyond the classic forms of diagnostic techniques, the MRIs, the CT scans, so on and so forth. But, and this is the big but, we still collectively are not making a dent in the incidence of chronic disease. That's what you have to remember. Now I bring to the forefront, I bring to the table the world's richest doctor. I want you to go to picture number one. There's picture one, number one. Patrick Soon-Shiong. I hope I didn't maul his name. Medicine's Manhattan Project. This guy's from South Africa. He's Chinese from South Africa. Became a surgeon. Very conscientious guy. Well known as the kind of surgeon that did the surgeries that nobody else wanted to do because those surgeries were too risky to do. He's with us here out in Brentwood. He has a massive complex. So he is reputedly, Forbes, you got to know something about Forbes. When they say somebody's rich, they mean the company's assets. They're not talking about personal assets. So when they say Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, he's not. Soros, they're not. Look to these dictators that abscond from their countries with hundreds and billions in gold. Look to guys like Putin of Russia. These guys have stashed currencies far beyond anything that Forbes would boast of. So understand, this guy, for as much as we're calling him in this Forbes issue the richest doctor in the world because of the net worth of his company, so to speak, he may well not be the richest doctor in the world. But that's really not the point. He is definitely one of the most eminent. He is fabulously gifted, and he's in Brentwood, and he is running and partially funding Medicine's Manhattan Project. Now, I cite this gentleman not only because he's heralded as the world's richest doctor, but because he made a statement in this very article, in this very magazine, very issue that you're looking at right now. And it is an extremely relevant statement. It's relevant for the year 2015. Again, this gentleman patented a drug called Abraxane, A-B-R-A-X-A-N-E. Take a look at a picture. Go to the top of the site, Patrick Soon-Shiong, World's Richest Doctor. Click that on and take a look at this article. Now, I didn't put the whole article in. I just put one page, and then I parentheses what was relevant. So I certainly hope you're on the computer. What this gentleman actually did was start his own drug company after driving forth through the FDA his own drug. And when, of course, Big Pharmaco wanted to rip him off or not pay him what he thought he was worth, what he did then, of course, was start his own company. I love that, don't you? We still have a country where you can do that, either not have your head blown off, not end up in jail. We still have a country where you can do that. And this South African Chinaman, who I think comes from a family of herbalists, I think, I may be wrong about that, is in our own Los Angeles finishing up this megalith that he put up. And this article in Forbes is about the fact that as far as he's concerned, look at this, I want you to see this. Go to that page, I hope you're on it, and you see what I parentheses, the high-tech nervous system? I want you to come just above that, just above the quote. Same column, just slightly above it. The vision came during the approval process for Abraxane in 2005. So 10 years ago, Soon-Shiong is having a vision. He's respected, schooled, vested, well-known, and he's the big gun behind this drug, Abraxane. This is 10 years ago. And this is what the article's about. Doctors were making bad decisions. One study found two-thirds of pancreatic cancer patients received the wrong treatment. I will vouch for that statement. One of the things I do to make my living is cut in on people who are being moved through the medical model incorrectly by the system. I find better MDs who know more things. Who would think this? But this is the reality. When you have something like cancer, You can go to what you think are the best places in the United States, and your health is in the hands of a boob. A boob. And this is what this article is saying. It's saying that Patrick was not a boob. And realized that doctors were making bad decisions. One study found that 2/3 of pancreatic cancer patients received the wrong treatment. You know, I don't know how much of this applies to Steve Jobs. If you watch some of the documentaries on Jobs, it's clear. There's a gentleman, not in One Last Thing, it's the other documentary, I can't remember. One of the last few documentaries circulating around Steve Jobs have people close to him stating he should not have done the holistic treatments. They could have cut what they needed to cut, and he would still be here today. And I believe this myself personally. I think he was sold a bunch of hooey by the holistic community, who had no real success with the kind of cancer he had. So across the board, this happens with cancer. Holistically, allopathically, it doesn't matter. And this was Shung's statement. Doctors were making bad decisions. One study found that 2/3 of pancreatic cancer patients received the wrong treatment. Now let's start there, because you're about to read a couple of sentences that are boggling, if you can understand them. And if you can't, well, that's why I'm here. Again, this is Forbes magazine a few months ago. This is not 100 years ago. Computer brain power wasn't enough to fix this. Sun realized if it wasn't paired with a high-tech nervous system, how could we ever hope to win the war against cancer? Using our newly gained molecular insights against a disease that has the capacity to constantly change and mutate. Please don't have me think I'm alone here. The comment section on the website. Tell me you understand the implication of that. Please tell me that. This is reputedly the world's richest doctor. This is Forbes magazine a few months ago. And this is a guy that's telling us that the bowl of hooey that Angelina just swallowed was done, I'll be kind and say, innocently. I could be harsh and say, with the utmost of ignorance and stupidity. Because what this gentleman is saying, world's most prosperous doctor, is that we will never win the war against cancer, and I'll add now, anything else, using genetic testings and Ojicki's $99 test against disease. A disease, cancer? No, all disease. Cancer? Try infectious disease sometime if you want to see something that has the capacity to constantly change and mutate. Soon he realized if the attack, I'm paraphrasing now, wasn't paired with a high-tech nervous system. Okay? A case of HCL. It's the new year. I'm in a generous mood. A case of HCL. I want to know you're there. I want to know you're alive. I want to know you're thinking. Case of HCL. What is he talking about? By a high-tech nervous system. My gift to you, the first three people, three cases. Each person gets one case. Don't get greedy. Each person, one case of HCL. Premier Search Research Labs, HCL. The best in the game. What is this gentleman saying? A high-tech nervous system. What are we saying amidst the search and the billions and gazillions of dollars we're going to put into software programs to make sure that medical doctors apply the right therapies to your mommy's cancer and your daddy's cancer and your loved one's cancer, your child's cancer, instead of being mauled by the oncology team that we're going to use computer software programs to apply better, more focal therapies. And that's what the world's richest doctors are about to do. That is what this article in Forbes was about. And yet he's saying, this is the only sentence in this 7 or 8 page article. Everything else is about the money, about the business. It's Forbes. This is not Cell Biology. It's Forbes magazine. And yet, there it is. If it wasn't paired with a high-tech nervous system, how could we ever hope to win the war against cancer? Using our newly gained molecular insights against a disease that has the capacity to change and mutate. I'll give you the answer that you're not going to get a case of HCL for. If you are not talking to God, if you are not in reciprocity with your soul, if your body's physiology through the wisdom of your soul are not in communication, if you're just not in your head like they are because you go to church on Sunday, you are sadly mistaken. It will be your unfortunate outcome to perish because you do not understand what the statement means. I'll leave you with that. You fill in the rest. But look at that sentence. What does that mean? What does that mean against? Well, click to view the full article. Top of the book there. Top of the on Wojcicki's $99 DNA test. There's the $99 DNA test. DNA test CEO Wojcicki talks about her big challenge. An exclusive interview with Fortune, 23andMe founder Anna Wojcicki fesses up to her failure to get approvals to market her genetic test kits. We fail today, we succeed tomorrow. They outregulated her. Maybe she didn't have the cash behind her parade. What does that mean? Well, this is where we're going. We're going to have to consider what the world's richest doctor has to say about it. But you see, the holistic community is always there. They are always there to capitalize on the hot topics of today. And they have. Click to view the full article on telomeres. Click to view the few article on telomeres. Take a look at that article. Because you see, the holistic community is on this now. So the allopaths are on this, but the holistic community is on this. Everybody knows the future of the world is around DNA. Remember Blade Runner? Remember Harrison Ford, James Edward Olmos, Daryl Hannah, Ridley Scott? Go see Exodus. Oh, Christian Bale, he became an actor in Exodus. What a film. Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, the early 80s. I was a kid. Blade Runner comes out. It flopped. You know Blade Runner was a flop? It came and it went. It was ahead of itself. And then in the artsy theaters of Manhattan down in the East Village, it would come out every year. And every year, and every year. And today, it's a classic. Not a cult classic, it's a science film flick classic. Blade Runner. Remember the Tyrell Corporation? Remember Rutger Hauer playing that unbelievably looking mutant? Remember the death scene on top of the skyscraper? Wow. Well, holistic medicine is part of this search to stop aging, to stop cancer, and scanning the vocabulary of anti-aging medicine we've come upon in holistic medicine. So I'm sort of shifting our angle here now. I told you we were going to go on a journey today. We're shifting it now to the telomere. So click to view the full article on the telomere. The new science of reverse aging. There it is. Someone wrote a book. It is a scientist that wrote a book. That scientist's name is Singer. Her last name is Singer. She wrote a book, Stress Less, that says that you will age faster because something that's part of the chromosome called the telomere, I'm going to show you a picture in a moment, will begin to disintegrate if you're under stress. That just based upon the telomere test now, we can measure how fast you're aging. Again, it's another tributary of what started with Mendel, Watson, and Crick. The telomere. What's the telomere? Wait until you see what the holistic community's done with this. What is the telomere? Okay, I want you to take a little ride here down to picture number 25. Go to picture number 25. There you go. Picture 25, you're looking at a chromosome. The chromosome comes together in the center. It looks like an X, where the two strands of the chromosome intersect. That's called the centromere. The ends of the chromosomes are called the telomere. Now, as cells divide, I want you to go to see cells dividing to picture number 27. Go to picture number 28, my mistake. Go to picture number 28 to see how cells divide. Now, there's a cell that's going to duplicate its DNA and then separate itself to make two cells with two completely new sets of DNA. It's called mitosis. Loads of our cells engage in mitosis. Cancer is when that process runs amok. Senescence is when the cell doesn't do that. It just croaks. But not really. It just breaks down and stops working. Apoptosis is when the cell just kills itself. There is no mitosis. There is no cancer. There's just rapid cell death. Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, is not cancer, right? It's what? Senescence. We wish as Alzheimer's advanced, our brain cells could just reproduce beautifully and we could make new brain cells as Alzheimer's ravaged our own brain cells. But that's not what happens. The mitotic cell division, cell replication process ceases to exist and is rapid destruction. But in the normal day and age, in the normal course of life, lots of our cells are reproducing, making new cells, and they line up with each other. So if you look at mitosis, if you look at that circle, you're going to see on the bottom, so look at the circle like a clock, just at about 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Look at those four circular figurines there on the bottom. Forget the ones on the top. Do you see how they've lined up with each other? That's what the cells do as they begin to separate. The telomeres, meaning the tips of the chromosomes, the tips of the chromosomes kind of touch fingers. Can you see that? Again, picture 28, looking at that picture like a clock, the 4 o'clock, 5:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock positions, the fingers of the chromosomes before those cells separate. In the 9 o'clock position, you can see them, they've separated. Where the fingers touch, that's the telomere. Concept. The concept is, well, look at picture number 27. Picture 27. Some factors in aging, telomere shortening. Chromosomes lose telomeres over time. Stress less. Picture 22. A scientist points out that stress shortens telomeres. Read Hans Selye if you really want the insight into what that's about, stress of life. It's why I am never not on that. Read Hans Selye, Stress of Life. We know what stress does. We know it accelerates aging, but it's great when you can pinpoint it on a telomere, because that's DNA-ish, that's chromosome-ish, that's gene-ish, that's nucleotide sequence-ish, that's PCR-ish, that's Mendelian, that's Watson and Crick-ish, that's Mulis, that's Venter-ish, that's Angelina-ish, that's $99 DNA testing, Kaiser Permanente. That's what's coming. And the holistic community is going to nail it. So if we could basically measure the rate at which your telomeres begin to disintegrate, well, we've still got one problem. What are you going to do about it? And of course the holistic community has, as it always does, because they're in sort of relationship with each other. Watson and Crick and the herbalists of the world are sort of shaking hands all the time, even though the public doesn't see that. But that's the reality of it. Here's a classic example of it. Ta-da! Go to picture number 24. TA-65 to the rescue. Thea Singer writes the book. Of course, it didn't occur in the sequence. We'll pretend it did. She writes the book. Ta-da! Telomeres shorten as you age. We someday will measure that. I mean, maybe for another $99. And best of yet, after we flip you out, because we're confirming through lab testing what you already know by looking at your face, we have a solution. And now that we have a solution, we have a market. Now that we have a market, ta-da. I want you to understand this from both sides. It's not bad that we have a market. TA-65. Okay. Picture 24, TA-65. Let's see what it does. Look at picture number 23. You can blow that up a little bit. TA-65, from the traditional Chinese herb astragalus. This is classic. We need an answer in the holistic community. So let's go to our perspective. Let's go to nature and find something. And, of course, we've got it. We've got astragalus. And astragalus has chemicals. And these chemicals, okay, in this case, we're calling it the TA-65 molecule. There's another name for this chemical. It eludes me at the moment. It's not important. The point is, we find the herb. We isolate what we claim will what? Well, what breaks down, okay, actually, not what breaks down, what repairs the broken telomere is an enzyme called telomerase. T-E-L-O-M-E-R-A-S-E. And what happens if this enzyme deactivates, if it stops working? If it stops working, you can't repair the telomere. The tips of your chromosomes break down more rapidly. Now, let's try to give you a layman's understanding of the consequence of that. But that is definitely bad. When the telomere starts to fray, you age faster. You're going to get cancer sooner. But the body does DNA repair. It's called the telomerase enzyme. The body makes it. When the body stops making it, when it doesn't work as well, the chromosome decays more rapidly, and that sets the foundation for pathology. So TA-65 is an attempt. It's an extract from astragalus. Then we concentrate it. Then we put it to some science. And then we say it slows down or it activates the repair enzyme. We say TA-65 activates the enzyme and we attach some science to it. Then, based on the politics, based on the amount of funding, based on the money on all fronts, the money to be made, the money to lose, who you're competing with, whose feet you're stepping on, how much hard science you have, how much weak science you have. Believe me, if you're a backyard herbalist and you figure out how to do this, you don't have a chance. If you own a pharmaceutical company, chances are, if you can patent it, it's going to go through. But then again, maybe not. It all depends. So let's not point fingers here. Let's just understand the overview here. Mendel to Watson and Crick to Mulis to Venter to Wojcicki to Angelina to anti-aging medicine to the holistic community. Now that's insight. You want to understand the game? I'm laying it out for you. So TA-65 comes to town, and it was attacked terribly. It probably didn't work. But what it points out is, well, what we should have really focused on, and that is, once again, nature has the solution. Nature. Now, Watson and Crick don't care about nature. Nor do the people who set us up for TA-65. Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds good. What we do is we find an herb because we're herbalists, because we're holistic. And we go into the soil for the answer because we're holistic. And the minute we find it, we pull out what we isolate as the scientifically viable molecule, and then we concentrate it because that makes sense. Find out what works in it, pull it out, and concentrate it. That's what we did with vitamin C, right? Ascorbic acid. Until what? Until we found out that ascorbic acid was a free radical, that it meant nothing unless the bigger molecule came with it, and that nature had everything figured out. But we didn't find that out. Linus Pauling didn't find that out. The great Linus Pauling. But we just keep making this mistake time and time and time again. How are you going to take one thing, just one thing, isolate it, throw it into a capsule, and expect to see dramatic shifts? Are you kidding me? And yet, people buy this stuff all the time. We take these promises with herbs, we take them with herb isolates, we take them with synthetics. We just don't stop doing it because it's a bummer to hit 50 and 60. And have people stop carding you when you buy your New Year's booze. When you start looking older, when your skin drops, your rear end sags, and the rest of it. And obviously you're not 20 or 30 or even 40 anymore. We get our facelifts, we get our breast implants, we put collagen in our lips, on our eyes, we get the whole thing done. No, not you. Just the other 99% of America. We don't have $10,000 to invest in our health each year, but we got $20 for that facelift. And believe me, insurance doesn't pay. But that's kind of okay. Nobody really gets mad at insurance companies. You ever notice that? Nobody really gets angry when insurance doesn't pay for your facelift, right? These vitamins, insurance should pay for that. The government should pay for your holistic health care. But not that facelift. Everyone that gets one is just a little bit guilty about it. Well, I know I really shouldn't get this boob lift. I know I shouldn't get breast augmentation. But, you know, it's the competitive edge in the marketplace, and I've got family to feed. Nobody minds that expenditure. So we find all these rationalizations, but we don't get anywhere. See, that's the thing. The studies done on TA-65 were never solid. Well, yeah, they were suggestive. I have one right here. I didn't put this on the site. It was by a bunch of professors. Most human cells lack sufficient telomerase, that's the enzyme, to maintain telomeres. Hence, these genetic elements shorten with time and stress, contributing to age and disease. And they studied this TA-65. And in this article, I should have put it on. I didn't. Maybe I will later. And it shows that the money spent on TA-65 is worthwhile because of the in vivo tests on rats or mice or something, meaning in the real human, not human, animal body. Well, okay, wonderful. But it didn't work. When are we going to get this one straight? But this is not a show. This is not a show that denies hope. You see, this is a show to give you hope. I did this show today because there's something marvelous about the human body. If you really look at it, you'll see things staring you right in the face that are all suggestive of, well, is it sinful to say that God has put all the answers in the human body? Well, it's not sinful, right? That would be absurd. It is sinful. Scientists don't talk that way. Scientists that make statements like that are considered idiots. So it is sinful to say that God put all the answers. I think that's the underpinning of a real debate. I think that debate is coming. I think that debate should begin in 2015. Now, I'll put this in a nutshell. Go to picture number 30. Go to picture number 30. The myth of junk DNA. Yes, we've mapped the human genome. Now that we've mapped it, we can tell you definitely that 90% of it, 95% of it, 99% of it, some astronomical percentage of our DNA does not code for anything. It doesn't tell your cells to do anything. And we call this junk DNA. This was a term used from years ago. It's still used today. The point is, lots of people are challenging this. The guy that wrote this book, Jonathan Wells, The Myth of Junk DNA. It's suggesting in our day and age, we'll go to picture number 31. Go to picture 31. The junk DNA controversy. How sloppy is your human genome? Today's show, junk DNA. God does not make junk. We've been expected to accept the fact, since we've studied DNA, that most of our DNA is useless. You've heard, you only use 10% of your brain. You've heard that. School teachers in grammar school, in my Catholic school, in the 60s would tell us that. You only use 10% of your brain. So don't drink beer, because it kills brain cells, and then you'll only have 8% of your brain. And they would tell us this, the ones that were reading. And here it is, 2015. The junk DNA controversy. What we are finding is that there is something called junk DNA that ain't junk. It is not junk. It's not junk. It's just waiting to be activated. By what? TA-65, of course. On sale, 2 for $49. No, take a look at picture number 32. That's the ventricular system of the brain. It pumps. It's a real thing that pumps. Take a look at picture number 33. That's the pineal gland. It's got crystals in it. Take a look at picture number 36. Yes, yes, you've heard it before. Oh, that guy that keeps yelling about the pineal gland. Look again. Picture 36, you see the superior colliculi, the inferior colliculi. These structures are there. And in between those large breasts, what we call the colliculuses, is the pineal gland. That pineal gland is sitting on the cusp of the third ventricle. That ventricle, picture 32, is titillating at different and increasing frequencies. The pineal gland, lodged in between the four colliculuses. And when it is of a sufficient frequency, look at picture number 33. Your brain begins to light up. I don't want to go to Middle Eastern script, in a sense, any more than you do. But I'm going to anyway. Because it's one big world, more than ever today. And something in Egypt understood that what we call the pineal gland was a holy place. Now, lest we be lost in esoteria, poetry, and forfeit science, understand that the pineal gland is a real place in the body. And that what the third eye is suggesting, the light or the seat to the soul, as Descartes put it, what it's suggesting here is that if you are in accordance with natural law, perhaps biblical law, did not Moses live to 900? Did he not lead his people for 40 years through the deserts? Do you not read the Old Testament? Are you not familiar? Well, if this is the case, what, God came down on a golden chariot and told him where to go? Perhaps there is a more scientific explanation. Perhaps, as we are born in the image of God, God left pieces of himself within us, sitting there latently, like junk DNA, waiting to be resurrected. Resurrection! What a concept. And perhaps in accordance with natural law, there is a way to make these tissues come to life. And perhaps the sky will open up then, and the Lord will smile down upon you and give you your guidance. I wish medicine held to that perspective. I wish science held to that perspective. Otherwise, I think picture 37, Huxley is right on. Huxley is right on. Brave New World. The poets always see it before the scientists or the sociologists. We are at the cusp of the Brave New World. You have to take your choice. You have to make your choice. If you want to manage your health care with a $99 DNA test, well, then the die is cast. I suggest you make the other choice for 2015. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Make the appointment with me. Make the right choice. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.